coming to church this morning right out here, this gentleman. Two rescue units were there, and somebody said they saw him bringing him out and beating him in the chest. What is his name? Belcher? Mr. Belcher. I believe he's one of Jerry's neighbors out there. And I heard a while ago that the Lord had called him home. You see, we're going to leave whether we're ready or whether we're not ready or whether we want to go or don't want to go. There's coming a time when you're going to leave. And so I've got leaving on my mind. I'm just ready to go. I'm packed up. And I'm just waiting on the trumpet to sound or the death angel to come. Praise God, I'm ready. Brother Johnny Tidd came to me, and I never know what people's... I got a lot of confidence in him. I don't think he'd get up and say nothing, but it must be something about me. You know, it don't take a whole lot of marbles to understand that. He said he had talked to one or two of the other folk, and so he wanted to have a word. Now, I have no idea what it is, so he's wanting to say a word to you. So, Brother Johnny, you come.
Yeah, I just wanted to, something that was laid on my heart last night, and we've been around to a couple of the places this morning. You know, Easter's coming up, and we all like to dress and strut on Easter, and I love my preacher, and I know all of you love him, and he brought most of us, led most of us to the Lord, if not just about all of us. And me and Brother Billy Purvis just thought of this, and so, you know, if you want to blame somebody, it was us. And I'd like to take up an offering, a love offering, or an Easter offering, if you will, this morning for our preacher to show our love, concern for him. You know, we tell him, but a lot of times it's better to show him. I think it means more. And I just like to say out of the men's class this morning, because some were leaving, we went in, we got over $10. And out of the children's church, this is the children's church, we got over $10. So that's well on the way. We'd like to get enough to get him a new suit. If not, something else. But Brother Billy, myself, or Bob, some of us, whatever you've got, we're just going to take it up now and present it to him as a love offering for Easter.
Amen.
And I'll start it. Bill, you want
to? Amen.
Come and sing your song for us while they do that, would you? I believe folks would enjoy hearing you sing. I appreciate what they're doing for me.
I was shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made, he made me whole. Well, I will never cease to praise him. I'm gonna shout it while eternity rolls. Because he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, he touched me. Joy that floods my soul, because something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Much of that would start a camp meeting, wouldn't it?
Well, I appreciate the song, and Brother Charles and Brother Johnny and Brother Bill and all of you that had anything at all to do with this special offering for me. Thank you. God bless you. I'll tell you, if I don't get a new suit, I'm satisfied with the suit I got. But I'll use it for the glory of God and put the gas in the car to run or to do something. Now, by request, after the message today and during the invitation, we're going to open the doors of our church for membership. We have two families that has requested, and we don't have to open the doors for you. If you ever want to become a member of this church and you're satisfied with your relationship with the Lord, then all you've got to do is to walk down front at any invitational time and just say to the counselors, I want to join the church. And we have a card here, and to you that fill out these cards, the year that folk were born on their birth date is not important, just the month and the date. But we do need that and all the information we can get. So if you fill it out, please fill it out in its entirety. I want to preach today with the help of the good Lord on a subject that I've heard all of my life. It's a question. Will a loving God send a sinner to hell? I've heard that all of my life. And the liberals and the modernists and the folks that don't want to believe in a hell and don't want to believe that God whoops people, they want to believe that more than anybody else. Well, does he send them to hell? How? Why do people go to hell? They don't go to hell because they drank liquor. They don't go to hell because they commit adultery. They don't go to hell because they tell lies and steal and cheat. People go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they'll accept Christ as their Savior, then you don't worry about them committing adultery and telling lies. They won't do that. Their lives will be changed. So folk go to hell because they reject Christ. So with that in mind, I want to read from two books today. Luke chapter 16 is the first one. That's a familiar scripture pertaining to hell, the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through verse 31 of the remaining part of that chapter, and I'll be very brief. I want you to notice the two first words of that verse 19. I have a reason for asking you to pay particular attention to that, the two first words. You will hear, if you haven't already, sometime or another in your life, no doubt, if you discuss the Bible with people. There's a liberal philosophy going around that hell is a myth. There is no such a thing as a literal burning hell. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Now, I heard this. This is not grapevine stuff. I heard it. I was sitting in a home in a distant state having a meal. Dr. Billy Graham was in a crusade and come on television, and I heard this. I was in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And I heard him say, he's preaching on hell. But he said, I don't know, and I cannot say that the fire in hell is a literal fire. He said it could be some other kind of symbolic punishment. Well, I was surprised, and I disagree with Dr. Graham. As kind a man, as good a man, as great a man he is, I disagree with that. You'll hear that Luke 16 is a parable. And it's not an actual fact. But the first two words settle that with me. There was. Now, if there never had been, Jesus is telling a lie here. and it's impossible for him to lie. So at one time or another, there was, and there still is, but he's in hell now, a rich man. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and feared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. You notice the rich man was buried. It doesn't say anything about Lazarus being buried. Maybe his body was thrown out to the buzzards. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have any money. Maybe they took him to Potter's Hill. But the rich man had an elaborate funeral. That don't have anything to do with the eternal things. Verse 23, when the rich man was buried and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. You've never cried before, you'll cry then. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That's fire, folks. I don't know of anything else that makes a flame but fire. I don't know how Dr. Graham, with all of his education and all of his wisdom and as great a man as he is, can say that. I don't know how any professor or theologian can deny the existence of a burning, blistering hell. But Abraham, in verse 25, said, Son, remember. Now keep that in mind. I'll come to that in a minute. That thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, thank God. That's where we're going to be one day, if we're true. There's comfort. And thou art tormented, sinner. That's where you're going to be. You don't get saved. And beside all this, there between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. God fixed it. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray. Now he cried first, now he's praying. You may never pray here. If you miss heaven and go to hell, you'll pray. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now notice, the father's house was still in existence. Earth was still here. It wasn't the end of the world. And he wasn't in the grave sleeping. He was in hell. Verse 28, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the preachers, prophets, it says, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you don't hear a preacher preach it, and you don't believe it then, nobody else will ever convince you. Revelation chapter 20. I want you to turn with me there right quick. Revelation 20, verse 11 through verse 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. How are you living? How are you acting, behaving? Even though you're not saved, every secret thing and every sin you've ever done is going to be, if you don't get saved, is going to be brought out that day. Verse 13.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now look over in Revelation chapter 21. Let's read the first 8 verses. John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst to the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people, my sons. But look at verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. There's that word fire. And brimstone, which is the second death. Will a loving God send a sinner to hell? Here's 2 different books that I've read out of today from the Bible. The book of Luke and the book of Revelation. One, Jesus gives a record of a rich man. And a poor man. Somewhere in history, the rich man picked up a name of Dives. The Bible don't teach that. But somewhere tradition say, and it's all right, there's nothing wrong with that. But the rich man died and went to hell. Now he didn't go to hell because he was rich. And the poor beggar died and went to heaven, or the Bible says paradise, and some places referred to it here as Abraham's bosom. He went to heaven. Now, he didn't go to heaven because he was poor. You see, poverty has nothing to do with people being lost or saved. Neither does riches. Nothing enters into that. Here, the Bible said, is a great gulf fixed between them. The lost went over here. The saved went over here. There's 2 different places. And there's just 2 kinds of people. The saved and the lost. You're not in any other category. There is no such a thing as another category. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on your way to heaven today or you're on your way to hell. And you should know which group you're in and where you're going. If you don't know, who in the world does know? If you don't know it, I get so sorry for some folks that's ignorant to the Bible. You ask them if they're saved. Well, I hope so. Man, that's biblical ignorance. I hope so. Now, I don't like to mention names of other denominations, but that reminds me when people say, I hope so. That reminds me of the primitive Baptists. They believe in an old unconditional predestination, and you're born to go where you're going. And I moved to Wilson, North Carolina, and I'd go out soul winning, and old gray-haired people, I'd say, what's your relationship with Jesus? If you died, would you go to heaven? Well, preacher, I hope so. And I said, man, we ought to be able to do better than that. What if you're wrong? And I come to find out I was right in the midst of a bunch of these poor old primitive Baptist folks have been taught all their life an unconditional predestination. You are born to go where you're going, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what they believe. They believe that when you're born, you're predestined to go to hell or heaven, and that'll never change. You'll go there. They believe anything that ever happens in their life, it was in God's predestined plan. If you leave this church and have a wreck, God planned that for you when you was born. That's what they believe. And you can't, if I believe that, I wouldn't stop at a stop sign or a red light or a railroad track or nothing else. I'd just zoom on through. That's right. That's ignorant, folk. You can shorten your days. And the Bible teaches that. But with that in mind, it reminds me of an old woman up in Wilson somewhere. Lived in a big two-story house. And she was fixing to go down them steps, and she stumped her toe and come tumbling down and busted herself all up. And got up and wiped the blood and looked up the steps and says, thank the Lord, that's over and done with. It just had to be. It couldn't be prevented. It was in God's plan. But people need to know whether they're saved or not. And if you're sitting in this congregation today, and somebody was to ask you on your job tomorrow, would you go to heaven if you died? If you can't say yes, last week in revival, where I was at, there's a man and his wife came to the altar, and I counseled with them, and the pastor is counseling over here. And I said, what have you come for, a spiritual need? They said, yeah. I said, well, have you been saved? Well, we don't have assurance in our heart. I said, you need that. You need to know. So I showed them 1 John 1 and 9, Isaiah 1:18, Romans 10:13. Maybe these scriptures don't mean anything to you, but you ought to know what I'm talking about. You ought to know what these scriptures mean. If you're a soul winner, you will know what they mean. And so when that feller got through praying and me praying with him, I said, when we stood up, him and his wife, I said, tell these folks where you'd go if you died right now. Well, he said, I hope I'd go. I will. I said, wait a minute. Bless God. Let's do it over again. This thing is an eternal thing, and it ain't a hope-so thing. So we bowed back down. We began to pray. I said, do you believe that scripture? Do you believe that? Do you believe this? I said, now repent and ask God to come into your heart and save you for your sin. And if you died, would you go? He got up and grinned and said, I'd go to heaven. Hallelujah. Man, I love to hear that. I love to see people that knows where they're going when they die. And Paul said, we can know. There is a way that we can know that we're saved. If the devil ever gets you to doubting your salvation, he'll defeat you right there. You'll be defeated. I ask a feller, are you saved? Well, I hope so. I said, well, wait a minute. Are you married? Yeah. I said, do you hope so? They know they're married. They know their name. They know where they live. But they cannot know in their heart that they're saved. If you don't know that you're saved, chances are that you're not saved. I don't believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, can perform such a great operation in a person's heart and them not know about it. You're going to know it. Only two kind of people, saved and the unsaved. Here, the rich man called across the gulf and ask Abraham to let Lazarus come. You see, folks that died before Jesus came went down then. If they died saved, they went in one side of the earth, which is the paradise side. And you find in the book of Ephesians, the Bible said when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. 1 Peter 3:19. Christ went and preached to the spirits in prison. What does that mean? That means that the people died before Jesus came without the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sin. There's no way to go to heaven without Jesus. No way to go to heaven without shed blood. They died in the faith. They died before he came. Hebrews 11 said those receiving not the promise, they couldn't go to heaven. The blood hadn't been shed. There's only one name, and that's Jesus' name, Acts 4:12. And so God put them in the paradise side of the earth to await until the Messiah came. And when he went down those 3 days, he was in the heart of the earth. He went down and led captivity captive. He went down and emptied up the paradise side of hell. And here's where they went. He told the thief on the cross, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus went down into the earth before he went up. And when he went up, he carried paradise to heaven. Now when you die, you go up. But before he was born. Rich man, we find a little bit about what hell is like. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. He begged for water. Cool my tongue. Go warn my five brothers. We learn from this that a loving, merciful, tender, graceful Jesus will not send anybody to hell. People merely send themselves to hell when they reject to accept Christ as the Savior of their life. And you have that opportunity here today. There are too many people today that believe, that don't believe. There are too many people today, there are not too many people today that believe what I'm preaching today, that there is a place like that. It don't change the fact one bit. I was somewhere in a revival. I was trying to think when I was preparing this message where I was at, and I can't remember. But I remember distinctly being in the car with a preacher, sitting downtown on the street. And we were sitting right near a moving picture theater. And up on the billboard or the marquee or whatever, there was a title of the movie that was playing. And it was flashing in great big lights and letters. And it said, merely we go to hell. Merely we go to hell. And the pastor and I were talking about it. And he said, you know, most people don't believe that. And about the time he said that, there was a group of people that came out of a building. I don't know where they came out of, the theater or some other building. But they were laughing loud. We had the windows rolled down. And they looked, and they saw that, and they said, yeah, merely we going to hell. And they laughed, and they mocked, and they made fun. And we looked at that crowd, and I thought about the drama, and these teenagers with the radio loud and the rock music coming down the aisle laughing, talking about the parties, and how the devil cast them out. Most people today laugh and mock at a place called hell. That doesn't change the fact one bit. They'd laugh and go on their way. It wouldn't impress them one bit. Didn't bother them one bit. It's just a slang word today, the word hell. But I'm here to preach to you that it is a lake of fire, that the soul of the ungenerated go when they die. There is a hell because of the following reasons, and I want to mention them to you. Number one, God owes it to the righteous. He said there's a broad way and a narrow way. He said in my text that they'd be cast into the lake of fire. All liars, whoremongers, idolaters would be cast into the lake of fire. Now, if God said that, and God's a truthful God, and you know he is, and there wasn't such a place, then it would be an untruth. There has to be a hell for lost people to go to. Because of God saying there was. He owes it to the righteous people. He said there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. The narrow way is heaven, the broad way is hell. Drunkards and liars. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Number two, there has to be a hell to restrain people from sin. There's people that dread hell, that living like the devil today, but they dread hell. They don't want to go to hell. I was in Pennsylvania in a revival. I'll never forget this. There was a great big fella. And he came to that service every night and sat on the back seat. And he'd be drunk. And he was under conviction so bad he couldn't stand it. And he'd come to that altar every night and he'd squall like a baby. And he'd weep and cry and he'd say, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But somehow or another, he couldn't muster up enough faith to give gave his heart to Christ, or there's something in his life he couldn't give up, or something he had done. I don't know what the problem was. I never did talk to him that much. But there got to be a place that awful people go to restrain people from their sins. You see, restraint has almost been removed from the world today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul said, the mystery of iniquity. The mystery. Now, it's a mystery. It's to hide in the name of God, people can take little babies and just slaughter them. And I have been in homes right after it happened in Kannapolis, North Carolina, where one man took his child out of the crib by the heels and burst its brains out against the wall. One little girl took her little baby in her arm walking down the street and reached down in a long shoulder bag purse and pulled out a pair of scissors and stabbed that young'un in the face and killed her own baby. Now, what makes people do that? Listen, restraint is gradually being lifted. The mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, does already work. Now, listen, there's a comma there. Then it goes on and says, only those he that let will act until he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for God and the Holy Spirit working in this adulterous, cold, hell-going world today, you couldn't walk down the streets of Spartanburg. And there must be some restraint. And God has to have a hell for people like that to go to. He will be taken out of the way. People take little children, take them down in the basement of the homes, beat their brains out. My Lord, all them little black children down in Atlanta, don't you know, my friend, they molest them, throw them over to the side of the road, go into homes and steal old people's money that's retired, take their belongings, shoot the president for no reason at all? What's wrong with people? We're in the last days. People today ride down the streets and what they do what they call joy killings. Just kill for the joy of it. I've been reading about it. It's all over the country. Folks out mowing their lawns, minding their own business, and a group of hoodlums come by with machine guns and an automobile about half drunk and all hopped up on drugs and shoot them down like dogs. That's going on across the land. A lot of folk taking their children out to the park for recreational purposes, and somebody come by and shoot them down like dogs that never saw them in their life, don't know a thing about them. You tell me, my friend, that God don't have a hell for people like that. Sure he has, and they'll go there if they don't accept Christ and repent of their sins. Hell is needed to restrain people. Today, if you commit some crime, they put you in jail. And they hold you there until you go before the judge. Well, today, when people live like hell itself and die, they go into hell. And then they wait on Judge Jesus to come in Revelation 20 that I read. And that's the purpose of reading that. Then they bring them before the judge, and the judge sentences them, says this is a second death. They are restrained, they're held, they're captive until something can be done about them. Number three, hell is a place of memory. Remember I told you I'd get back to that? One thing that stands out in my mind is that according to the story of Jesus told about this rich man, hell is a place of memory. Son? Come to, oh, there's preachers on earth. If they won't listen to them preachers, Moses and the prophets. Yeah, but if one rose from the dead and went back to it, oh no. We don't do business like that. You accept Christ by faith, you believe what the Bible says, or you die in your sins and go to hell. You don't believe the Bible, and you don't believe the preacher that preaches the Bible. If one rose from the dead, and Billy Sunday rose from the dead and walked in this church today and got up here and began to preach where I'm at, you wouldn't believe him either if you wouldn't believe me. That's what God says. You don't believe it. You're not going to heaven. You're going to hell if you don't believe it. Verse 25 in Luke 16. Son, remember. Remember. I really and truly believe in my soul today that every lost person that I've ever preached to, whether it's here or somewhere else in a revival, that died without Christ and go into hell. I believe, as sure as I'm standing before you, that somehow or another God's got it arranged that they're going to remember every sermon that I've ever preached to them, along with every other preacher that's ever preached to them. They'll hear the voice of Johnny Bowman ringing in their ears over and over and over and over. They're going to remember. The Bible says they'll remember. They'll remember every opportunity they splurged, every glorious opportunity they had and didn't do anything about it. They're going to remember that. They're going to remember every evil deed they've ever done, every unkind word they've ever spoken, every act of thief they've ever committed, every lie they've ever told. They're going to remember that. Don't you remember, they said, when you sat at your big, comfortable table and said, drag that little old dirty beggar away from my gate? Mr. Dives or Mr. Rich Man, can't you remember them days when you had it so well? You said, drag it away from there. I don't want to hear him cry and beg. Take it off there and let the dogs lick his sores. Don't you remember that? Son, remember. Hell is a place of memory. Old Rich Man said, I won't give him one crumb. Laughed in his face. Poor beggar. Now he's remembering. You sat at that table full of good things and ate and enjoyed it. Why, you didn't even say the blessing when you ate. You didn't even thank God. You was like hogs eating acorns. You just looked down and ate. You didn't even look up to see where they come from. Son, don't you remember that? Remember. Remember when a preacher came to witness to you and you treated him unkind and locked the door and pulled the blinds and pretended you wasn't at home? Don't you remember that? Don't you remember your reaction of that man visiting you and talking to you about Jesus when he left? Don't you remember the unkind things you said about him, the attitude you had about him? That why don't people leave me alone? If I want to go to church, I'll go. If I want to live right, I'll live right. I've got a right to live when all them people was concerned about was your soul because they loved you. Don't you remember these things? Treated you like a man that told me one time, some time ago, that he ran from the long arm of the law for a long, long time. Said he was miserable. But he said, preacher, I finally gave up. He was living in a mission up in Roanoke Rapids where I was at. He said to me, he came to the service one night, and he's from Spartanburg, by the way, a fellow by the name of Taylor. And he said, preacher, I run from the law for years, and I was miserable. But he said, I finally gave myself up. He said, I hadn't had a good night's rest and sleep in so long. He said, I was so given out. But he said, oh, what peace and what rest I can have now because it's all confessed. There's something about laying everything you've ever done at the feet of Jesus, the one that loves you, and say, I'm sorry. I'm guilty, but I'm sorry for it. And a loving God will take you in his loving arms and love you and strengthen you and forgive you and console you. That's what I did, and that's what every Christian did. You're going to remember that. The memory that this man had. Haunted, remembering these things. I want you to go with me now right quick before I close to the top of the hill overlooking Jerusalem. There are three crosses. Three men on those crosses. One made light. The other said to Jesus, one said, if you be the Son of God, call down angels and get yourself down from there. The other one looked over at Jesus, believing in his heart, and says, would you please remember me when you come to your Father's kingdom? Jesus took time out from dying in Luke 23:42. The Savior that loves me and saved me
He looked over there at that old dying thief that had never done anything good. Hallelujah. And he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a Savior. Oh, my, what love. Go with me now somewhere else. Suppose we could turn this auditorium into a, this huge auditorium into an elevator. We step on the big elevator. We press the button. We start going down, down, down. We go on down through the hot lava that Mount Helens and Mount Vesuvius experiences when they erupt. We go on down through that that comes through the volcanoes. After a while, the elevator stops. The door opens. We walk out and through the hall of hell. We see a man. He's got an awful, horrible look of agony on his face. He's in misery. We say to him, who are you and what are you doing here? And he said, my name is Judas. And I've been here a long time. I betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. There's folks today betray Christ for much less than Judas did. And take a chance on going where Judas is. We go on down the hall and I see a woman with trying to fix her face with smoke and soot and blood and burns all over with an awful look of agony on her face. She looks real troubled. We say, you look familiar, who are you? I'm Jezebel. God gave me a chance to repent and I didn't do it. On down the hall we find another one. And this man is got a pan out there, even though it's no water. There's no water in hell. And he's wringing his hands and dipping them over and over. And he looks so troubled and so painful and so in agony and in pain. And he's the most miserable looking fellow I've ever seen. And he's wringing his hands and dipping them over and over. In fact, he's wringing them so much that the blood's running out. We say, what in the world? What's going on? Who is that? We go over and slap him on the shoulder. Mister, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to get my hands clean. They've been dirty a long time. And he cries and he says, won't they ever come clean? Won't they ever come clean? Who are you? My name's Pilate. I had him to crucify the Savior. I said, away with him, crucify him, in order to hold my political job. Wish I'd have listened to my wife. She said, don't have anything to do with him. He's God's man. And he said, I went and washed my hands in water. And I said, I'm washing my hands of this innocent man. See to it, the blood from my hands. But they didn't come clean. The blood of Jesus is still on Pilate. Some of you folks listening here today, listen to me preach. You'll go to hell if you don't get saved. And you'll wring your hands and the blood of Jesus will be on your hands. He said, you tromp the blood of Christ under your feet and ignore him. And a loving, compassionate Jesus never sends nobody to hell. You send yourself because of you reject and say no to the Savior. When we get to heaven, we'll ask, who are you? With a smile on their face down on Hallelujah Square. He'll say, my name's Abraham. Then I'll see Paul, and I'll see Isaac and Jacob. Then I'm going to see the most pleasant thing that anybody's ever seen is the face of Jesus. Ain't that going to be a time? Thank God, what a contrast. Where were you going when you die? What if you died today? Where would you go?
Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. I know that the time is late. And I know the clock's ticking away, but I've delivered my soul. Now help people to respond to the message now as we stand together and sing. Dear Lord, Holy Spirit, do your job, please. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Stand.